Welcome to day 197 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, broadcasting to you from East Africa. Today, we are reading Isaiah chapters 13 through 17 from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at Isaiah chapter 13, starting at verse 1. The oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw. Lift up a standard on the bare hill. Raise your voice to them. Wave the hand that they may enter the doors of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones. I have even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exulting ones, to execute my anger. A sound of tumult on the mountains like that of many people, a sound of the uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts is mustering the army for battle. They are coming from a far country, from the farthest horizons, the Lord and his instruments of indignation to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp, and every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. And it will be that like a hunted gazelle or like sheep with none to gather them, they will each turn to his own people and each one flee to his own land. Anyone who is found will be thrust through, and anyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their little ones also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Behold, I am going to stir up the Medes against them, who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold. And their bows will mow down the young men. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb, nor will their eye pity children. And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation. Nor will the Arab pitch his tent there, nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there. But desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches also will live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers, and jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her fateful time also will soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. Chapter 14. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, and again choose Israel, and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. The peoples will take them along and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them as an inheritance in the land of the Lord as male and female servants, and they will take their captors captive and will rule over their oppressors. And it will be in the day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased, and how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked. The scepters of rulers which used to strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger with unrestrained persecution, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain who are pierced with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a trampled corpse. You will not be united with them in burial, because you have ruined your country. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers not be mentioned forever. Prepare for his sons a place of slaughter because of the iniquity of their fathers. They must not arise and take possession of the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord of hosts, and will cut off from Babylon name and survivors, offspring and posterity, declares the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the hedgehog and swamps of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened, and just as I have planned, so it will stand. To break Assyria in my land, I will trample him on my mountains. Then his yoke will be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulder. This is the plan devised against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out against all nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died, this oracle came. Do not rejoice, O Philistia, all of you, because the rod that struck you is broken. For from the serpent's root a viper will come out, and its fruit will be a flying serpent. Those who are most helpless will eat, and the needy will lie down in security. I will destroy your root with famine, and it will kill off your survivors. Wail, O gate, cry, O city, Melt away, O Philistia, all of you, for smoke comes from the north, and there is no straggler in his ranks. How then will one answer the messengers of the nation that the Lord has founded Zion, and the afflicted of his people will seek refuge in it? Chapter 15, verse 1. The Oracle Concerning Moab. Surely in a night Ar of Moab is devastated and ruined. Surely in a night Kir of Moab is devastated and ruined. They have gone up to the temple and to Dibon, even to the high places, to weep. Moab wails over Nebo and Medeba. Everyone's head is bald and every beard is cut off. In their streets they have girded themselves with sackcloth. On their housetops and in their squares, everyone is wailing, dissolved in tears. Heshbon and Elealeh also cry out. Their voices heard all the way to Jahaz. Therefore the armed men of Moab cry aloud. His soul trembles within him. My heart cries out for Moab. His fugitives are as far as Zoar and Eglath Shelishiya, for they go up to the ascent of Luhith weeping. Surely on the road to Horonaim they raise a cry of distress over their ruin. For the waters of Nimrim are desolate. Surely the grass is withered, the tender grass died out. There is no green thing. Therefore the abundance which they have acquired and stored up, they carry off over the brook of Arabim. For the cry of distress has gone around the territory of Moab. Its wail goes as far as Eglaim, and its wailing even to Beer Elim. For the waters of Dimon are full of blood. Surely I will bring added woes upon Dimon, a lion upon the fugitives of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. Chapter 16, verse 1. Send the tribute lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah by the way of the wilderness to the mountain of the daughter of Zion. Then, like fleeing birds or scattered nestlings, the daughters of Moab will be at the fords of the Arnon. Give us advice, make a decision, cast your shadow like night at high noon. Hide the outcasts, do not betray the fugitive. Let the outcasts of Moab stay with you. Be a hiding place to them from the destroyer, for the extortioner has come to an end. A destruction has ceased. Oppressors have completely disappeared from the land. A throne will even be established in loving kindness, and a judge will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent of David. Moreover, he will seek justice and be prompt in righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab, an excessive pride, even of his arrogance, pride, and fury. His idle boasts are false. Therefore Moab will wail. Every one of Moab will wail. You will moan for the raisin cakes of Kir Hareseth, as those who are utterly stricken. For the fields of Heshbon have withered, the vines of Sibmah as well. The lords of the nations have trampled down its choice clusters, which reached as far as Jazer and wandered to the deserts. Its tendrils spread themselves out and passed over the sea. Therefore I will weep bitterly for Jazer, for the vine of Sibmah. I will drench you with my tears, O Heshbon and Elealeh, for the shouting over your summer fruits and your harvest has fallen away. Gladness and joy are taken away from the fruitful field. In the vineyards also there will be no cries of joy or jubilant shouting. No treader treads out wine in the presses, for I have made the shouting to cease. Therefore my heart intones like a harp for Moab, and my inward feelings for Kir Hareseth. And so it will come about when Moab presents himself, when he wearies himself upon his high place and comes to his sanctuary to pray, that he will not prevail. This is the word which the Lord spoke earlier concerning Moab. But now the Lord speaks, saying, within 3 years, as a hired man would count them, the glory of Moab will be degraded along with all his great population, and his remnant will be very small and impotent. Chapter 17, verse 1. The Oracle Concerning Damascus. Behold, Damascus is about to be removed from being a city and will become a fallen ruin. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They will be for flocks to lie down in, and there will be no one to frighten them. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, and sovereignty from Damascus. And the remnant of Aram, they will be like the glory of the sons of Israel, declares the Lord of hosts. Now in that day the glory of Jacob will fade, and the fatness of his flesh will become lean. It will be even like the reaper gathering the standing grain, as his arm harvests the ears, or it will be like one gleaning ears of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleanings will be left in it like the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three olives on the topmost bough, four or five on the branches of a fruitful tree, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. In that day man will have regard for his Maker, and his eyes will look to the Holy One of Israel. He will not have regard for the altars, the work of his hands, nor will he look to that which his fingers have made, even the Asherim and incense stands. In that day their strong cities will be like forsaken places in the forest, or like branches which they abandoned before the sons of Israel. And the land will be a desolation. For you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Therefore you plant delightful plants, and set them with vine slips of a strange god. In the day that you plant it, you carefully fence it in, and in the morning you bring your seed to blossom. But the harvest will be a heap in a day of sickliness and incurable pain. Alas, the uproar of many peoples who roar like the roaring of the seas and the rumbling of nations who rush on like the rumbling of mighty waters. The nations rumble on like the rumbling of many waters, but he will rebuke them and they will flee far away. And be chased like chaff in the mountains before the wind, or like whirling dust before a gale. At evening time, behold, there is terror. Before morning, they are no more. Such will be the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who pillage us. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
In today's devotional, we heard some very interesting things in these chapters in Isaiah, and let me just give you a quick review of it, because perhaps as you listened to it, you wondered who it applied to. But it started out in chapter 13 that Isaiah the prophet was giving a prophetic oracle or declaration about Babylon, something that the Lord had shown him. Now, this prophecy about the kingdom of Babylon was important because at the time that this prophecy was given, the northern kingdom of Israel was about to be taken captive by the Babylonians as a judgment for all the wickedness and idolatry that they had committed against the Lord. They were going into captivity to Babylon. So though that was happening or about to happen at the time that he gave this prophecy, Isaiah could see into the future some 184 years down the road and spoke about something that was going to take place with regard to Babylon. In a nutshell, it was that God himself was going to judge Babylon for the cruelty that they committed against the Israelites, even though the Lord had allowed them to take the Israelites captive because of their own sin. God was going to then turn around and punish the Babylonians for their hatred and their harshness and their cruelty and their just murderous spirit against Israel. And so God was going to execute his anger on the Babylonians. And so this entire chapter 13 talks about what Isaiah saw in the future, that there was going to be this uproar of kingdoms, of these nations gathering together, that literally the Lord himself was mustering an army for battle, that they were going to come from a far country and be instruments of God's indignation to destroy the whole land of Babylon. And so this was talking about a time that was going to come, and it indeed took place. In fact, Isaiah specified who was going to do this destruction of Babylon, and he referred to the Medes and the Persians. And this actually came to pass, and we see it recorded in Daniel chapter 5 when the Babylonian king Belshazzar is having a big drinking fest, big drunken dinner party. And suddenly, that night, taken by surprise, the Babylonians are conquered by the Medes and the Persians. So this is a magnificently accurate prophecy, though some 174, 84 years prior to it actually coming to pass. Then as we move into chapter 14, we see this reassurance to the Israelites of the certainty of their deliverance from the Babylonians because Babylon would be conquered. And it's a very interesting chapter because in the midst of it, we see something quite fascinating in the middle of chapter 14. And it is a change of scenery, so to speak. You could say that the scene changes from earth to hell itself, where the king of Babylon is cast down into hell itself, and that the people who are in hell, including royal monarchs that had gone before him, rise up and taunt the king of Babylon for ending up there. And it literally says that they rise from their thrones as if there were thrones for them to sit upon in hell. And the prophet gives this stunning statement when he says in verse 9, Sheol from beneath, which is the place of the dead, is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and the music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. Now that is a very interesting prophetic word speaking to the king of Babylon some almost two centuries beforehand, telling him what his end would be and how hell itself would rise up to meet him and mock him and say, you've become weak just like us, and you've ended up in the same place as all of us. And so it's a very fascinating prophetic statement about the coming king of Babylon and how he would end up judged by the Lord himself and end up in hell. But the very next few verses are really what I want to bring to your attention. It says in verses 12, 13, 14, and 15, some things that have a very deep meaning for us. Bible scholars believe that they are references not only to the king of Babylon in this story or prophecy, but also specifically to Satan himself, how he fell from the heights that he was in. Lucifer, who was originally a cherub, the covering cherub in heaven, he was like the head of the music department for heaven, so to speak, and how he fell from that exalted position because of pride. And you'll hear it described here. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to think about this as a reference to Lucifer, who is later, his name is changed to Satan, because Lucifer means star of the morning. So listen as I read it and think about this in light of Jesus' words, which we find in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, when he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So that's what Jesus said about Satan's fall from heaven. He saw it. So listen to these words in this prophecy in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Starting at verse 12, it says this, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" And then verse 15 says, "Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit, and those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home?'" So this prophetic word that was being spoken about the king of Babylon, who also was very exalted in his arrogance and in his pride, and he's going to raise himself up and his throne up, and he's going to be the top dog among the kings, and then he's going to make himself like God. And this was definitely true about the Babylonian king. But how much more accurate is it about Lucifer himself? "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn." When you take it in light of Jesus' word in Luke 18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So we see a very similar theme and something that confirms what's described here in the book of Isaiah. So it's a very fascinating passage of scripture. Other Bible scholars also attribute this piece of scripture, passage from scripture, as being applicable as well to the Antichrist, who also wanted to exalt his throne, so to speak, above God and make himself like God, as if he were God. And those all apply. But if you think about it, Satan himself is behind the sin of pride in every man, every ruler, every person, and without a doubt was motivating both the king of Babylon and will undoubtedly be the motivation behind all the actions of the Antichrist, who wants to exalt himself and make himself in the place of God. So this was a passage of scripture that I thought was very important to bring to your attention, and you can keep these words in mind as we continue reading through the Bible this year, that Satan himself, the author of pride, he was the one who started it. He was thrown out of heaven because of his both rebellion against the Lord, but his pride and arrogance, as if he could exalt himself above the Lord or even make himself equal to God. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne. I will sit on the mount of the assembly. I will ascend above the heights. I will make myself like the Most High. Everything about Satan was I, me, me, me. Very self-centered. Any arrogant person is very self-centered and prideful. And so it was with the king of Babylon that was described in these chapters in Isaiah, and it will certainly apply to the Antichrist when he comes on the scene and he's ready to proclaim himself to be God. And we see that behind all of that is that same spirit of pride and rebellion against the Most High God. So these are scriptures that are important for you to know and to know about and to understand in light of our walk with God, and also the reality that there is a spiritual battle that we live in the midst of. There is the spiritual battle that Satan himself wars against people. He's always trying to influence people to resist God, rebel against God, not follow God, but instead to give in to his influence and temptations. And yet, we need to be aware that that is one sin, the sin of pride and rebellion, that we need to stay as far from as possible. Because the end of a person who gives in to that particular sin will be exactly like Satan's end, where this scripture tells us you'll be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit, and people will gaze at you and wonder, just like they did with Satan here, who, when he gets thrown into the lake of fire in the end, as the Word of God tells us, it will be people wondering, is this the one who made the earth tremble and who shook kingdoms and made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? You know, when Satan takes somebody captive in any sin, in any bondage, in any addiction, he'll never allow his prisoners to go. It will have to be taken from him through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ for him to ever release a hold on a person. And so we have to be very aware that there is a spiritual battle, because there is an enemy of our soul named Satan, and he is still roaming about seeking whom he may devour, the scripture tells us. And we have to be aware of his presence in the earth and his attempt to both influence people's minds and also to take them captive through temptation to sin. And we must be aware of that. And it's important as believers to know our enemy, know who he is, know what he is, know what is his game plan or his mission is. And his mission, as Jesus said in John 10:10, is to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can kill you physically, or kill your hope, or steal your joy, or your life, or your freedom in any possible way, he will do it. And he only does it through suggestion, with an attempt to influence you to think like he thinks instead of think like God, to believe the lies he tells you and try to take you captive through lies that he speaks. And obviously the king of Babylon bought into all the lies that Satan told him. You can be greater than any king. You can exalt yourself above all the nations and even above God. You can imagine Satan just whispering in his ear and giving him these lies, trying to take him captive through his vanity and through his pride. And it obviously worked, because the Babylonian king became this arrogant man who thought he could conquer the whole world with cruelty and hatred for others and with no compassion. And it brought him to a place where God sent judgment against him and his kingdom. So let's be aware of Satan and his devices, which he uses against people. The Apostle Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, and he said that we had to beware lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And his main device is simply using deception and lies to speak to people and to capture them through their mind until they come into agreement with him, and then he's able to get them into all types of sin and deception until they're far from the Lord and in captivity to his lying deception and his schemes. And if you ever wondered, where did Satan or the devil come from? This passage in Isaiah chapter 14 certainly gives us insight that through his own pride and arrogance, he was cast out of heaven. How you have fallen from heaven. And that was indeed Satan's exit from the throne of God through pride. That's all for today, and I look forward to having you join me tomorrow as we continue in the Old Testament in my Everyday Bible. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed my Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.